And I am joined, as always, on Monday by Brent Beard of First Coast News, co-host of the SEC and Helping Podcast. Brent, hopefully your weekend was good. How are you doing today?
Well, I'll give you an early hoity-toity, I guess, to go with the weekend as the SEC dominates college baseball just about as much as it does college football.
I'll tell you what, I saw there was a, I don't know if you saw this, but the amount of Jell-O shots that were taken by Ole Miss fans, I don't know if you would consider them the most passionate fan base in the SEC, but for college baseball, they are one, and for them to get a College World Series title, how big of a deal do you think this is for that city and for that university to be able to get what they did done over the course of the weekend?
Well, my understanding is it's the first one they've ever had.
Yeah.
In any, basically in any sport. I mean, when you're doing that, you're doing something rather incredible, frankly. So, the ability to beat an Oklahoma team that I thought was one of the best, if not the best, in the entire World Series. I mean, they just basically, in the first game, jumped on Oklahoma, and in the second game, I mean, their pitching, frankly, has been superb in a lot of ways. Fascinating second game, a lot of intrigue that went on that game about the middle of it. So, but just a incredible win for Ole Miss. They kind of broke their own glass ceiling on just what they could accomplish in sports.
As far as the tournament was concerned, and just, you know, it's not just the College World Series, but overall, we saw a lot of success from the unseeded teams. Do you think that goes to show how vast the talent is within college baseball right now? Like, it doesn't even have to be just the SEC, but it could be ACC. I mean, Notre Dame knocked off Tennessee in what was one of the biggest upsets of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you take most from this College World Series and from this postseason of college baseball, Brent?
Well, I'd say, number one, it's dominated, as usual, by the SEC in all that they have done, winning championships now with Florida, South Carolina, Vandy, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. And people miss this. Mississippi State won last year, and you've got Ole Miss winning this year, so baseball in the state of Mississippi right now, would be at an all-time high. The only disappointment would be that there were very few games that were very close. But they really didn't have any rain problems, which was good. It's always I thought ESPN did a good job with the entire broadcast. All in all, interesting that the Notre Dame coach has now ended up at Florida State. Of course, he's got Florida State ties, and that means a lot. But frankly, they had still, I would say, very successful World Series, even without the Tennessee team that everybody thought would be in and dominate.
I think it was a really cool story to see Ole Miss win, and it's a wild story, the deal with Tennessee. I mean, there's a lot that came out of it. As far as Ole Miss for football, we haven't really touched much on them real quick, and then I want to jump to a bigger side of college football. Jackson Dart comes in. They've got one of the best transfer portals in the country. You got, you know, Zach Evans coming in from TCU as well. How much of Ole Miss's season hinges on what Jackson Dart can do, or whoever in the world is going to be quarterback, whether it be Luke Altmyer or Jackson Dart, with how good this Ole Miss team can be?
Oh, I think it could be very good, as usual. Now, they've got to do, I think, still something more than what they're doing defensively, you know, what they've done. And they do have Cedric Johnson at defensive end, Katie Hill that's coming back, A.J. Finley on the defensive side, but they still need to continue to improve there. Jonathan Mingold, wide receivers, a name people are familiar with. A line, a lot of that group comes back. Jeremy James, also Caleb Warren. I mean, they've certainly got work to do. We know what they're going to be doing and how good they will be offensively, certainly because of what Lane has done in the past and will continue to do. I mean, the schedule fairly, I mean, Troy, Central Arkansas, and Georgia Tech, and Tulsa, I mean, they'll be a strong 4-0 by the time they play Kentucky on October the 1st, which will be a good game. So now they will run into a gauntlet later on at LSU, at A&M, back-to-back, and then they've got a week off before Alabama. And my stars, then they go to Arkansas. So, I mean, that will be that will be the crux of the season. So we're talking 1-2. Well, let's see. In that 1-2-3-4. I mean, that's going to determine the season, Drew. Frankly, and if they can split those games when they've got that gauntlet, I mean, you're looking at 9-3 and or maybe 10-2 again for them.
Do you think that the expectation for them is to be second in the SEC West, or do you think that, you know, they're a little bit more reasonable in their expectation and say top three would suffice?
Top three probably. I mean, you've still got A&M and you've got Arkansas that are going to determine a lot of who wins that Western Division. I mean, we also may be talking about LSU as it goes along. I don't think we will, but when you've got talent the way they do, I don't think you can ever count them out.
Yeah, I don't think you can either. I want to jump to the Florida Gators and just the overall state of Florida. So the whole deal with Jaden Rashada committing to Miami and this NIL deal is worth $9.5 million, according to a story on three. He did not take the highest offer. According to the reports, there was an offer of $11 million by the Gator Collective. How much do you think that, I guess, are you hearing anything about this story that may be inaccurate, Brent? Because there's some thought that this story, that there's something missing here, because the deal is according to the deal, it's with Miami mega booster John Ruiz. Ruiz has come out and said the report is inaccurate, but multiple sources have said that the deal is with Ruiz for $9.5 million, which would be the highest offer for any recruit that we've seen thus far in the NIL era.
Well, I think what I've heard and seen is that it simply may just be exaggerated. That's the numbers are exaggerated. I mean, that's stuff that we really may never know in that situation. But the problem with this, the bottom line, it would be Gator fans being frustrated because they didn't get him and they missed out on some guys. I mean, I told the Jacksonville Gator Club the other night that they've got to be patient in where they're going with this, that Billy Napier needs easily a couple of 2 or 3 years in order to get his roster up to speed and where that's going to be going. But we're dealing with a different animal now, frankly, in that we don't know how true some of these these reports that we're hearing. I mean, you remember the Tennessee quarterback that they got for, well, I think it was supposedly $9 million. That stuff at this point, I'm not sure that some of that's not someone inflating some of these numbers in order to get more recruits because of that.
Yeah, it seems like it almost is just part of the game here. I want to ask you a question, though, so regarding this. So if you're I guess we can look at it from the player point of view, and then we'll look at it from the coach's point of view. If you're a player, according to the story and his agent or whatever, according to Rashada's agent or the guy representing him, he chose Miami because he liked the university. It had nothing to do with NIL money. In regards to a player and their recruitment, are we getting to the point where it doesn't matter how good the coaching is or how good the program has been or the tradition, it just matters about the money? Or do you think that this situation with Rashada could be a trend maybe with, you know, top-tier players where they know they're going to get money wherever they go, but they're going to look a little bit deeper than that in terms of who is coaching there, the state of the program, and maybe their best path to the NFL?
Well, I hope it's the latter instead of the former. That would be very concerning if it's just nothing but money. But, I mean, you certainly hear that that's going on, and that's why we've got to get a handle on this somehow. And, again, our problem was the NCAA should have got a handle on this probably about 5 years ago, Drew, and or longer. And instead of $9 million, what we'd be talking about right now would be something similar to getting money for appearances or for autographs. Now, one thing I saw that was kind of new, speaking of Florida, is Lorenzo Lindgaard speaking to the Fighting Gator Touchdown Club. A lot of people may have missed that, but that is, I mean, that would be unheard of, frankly, before now. So I think people would probably look at that as that's a whole lot more for NIL and what it's supposed to do than paying somebody $9 or $10 million. I mean, still, you think about that, to pay a kid supposedly that much money, and he hasn't even played a snap yet in the collegiate game. I mean, that was Quinn Ewers going to Ohio State. When you're talking about people who haven't even gained a down yet, much less than anything in their career, if that's what's actually going on, I mean, that's spending money foolishly.
And if you want to, I guess, compare it to gambling, you're essentially doing that on these athletes, because it's like you're throwing millions of dollars on a bet in sports that you've got confidence they're going to hit, maybe, but you're not sure it actually is going to, because we've seen guys who have been five stars or four stars or whatnot not work out. So is that where, and not to say that they're scrambling, but is that why we see when coaches do these speaking tours, like Billy Napier came here to the Northwest Florida Gator Club, and we've seen Nick Saban talk, but the idea that these coaches have to try to get through to their fan base, like, hey, this is what's going on, and in order for us to be competitive, I am a good coach, but we're going to need your help eventually with the way that things are going. Do you think that is the outlook that coaches are having now, where without any funds or resources, it doesn't matter how good the coach is, you're not going to be able to get the best talent year in and year out because of the amount of money and resources that other schools may be spending on these players?
Well, the haves are in much better position than the have-nots in a situation like that. But no, I mean, that that is a real concern. I mean, if you're if that's the reality that we've got, how will and they have trouble now, but how does a Southern Miss or a Vanderbilt or a UAB or a South Alabama FAU or FIU? I mean, my goodness, how are any of those schools that they would compete on a daily basis with that?
There is no way that they, which is, I think, why some people have said the way that things are going, we're going to eventually get to a point where we're splitting divisions again with the Power Five and then the Group of Five, which I don't think is, I think that's the last thing that college football fans want, really, because we enjoy watching the Cincinnati's take on the Georgias or the Alabamas or what have you. And I don't know if we're necessarily going to lose that or not, but that is one of the deals that is coming up on a regular basis with all this NIL stuff. But Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good rest of the week, and we'll catch up here soon.
Good. Thank you, Drew. Take care.